morning is from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Psalm 119, 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
Certainly it's good to see everyone out this morning. We appreciate your presence. Last time I had this early service, I spoke about the 119th Psalm and mentioned that for the next several times that I had this opportunity, I would be bringing lessons based upon the 119th Psalm. It is, of course, the longest chapter in the Bible, and a great portion of it is taken up in describing God's Word. The entire psalm is about God's Word, but there are certain verses in it that are very descriptive of God's Word. And so in the lesson this morning, we are going to try to cover a lot of ground fairly quickly, because what I want to talk about is just some of the basic things that Psalm 119 says about the Word of God. So first, we want to look at what it says about the character, the very nature of the Word of God. And the first thing we would observe there is that Psalm 119 affirms that the Word of God is divine. Now, the word divine is not a word that in and of itself is found in the Bible. It describes a biblical concept, the idea that something is or is from God. And so the psalmist certainly identifies that object of his praise to the Word of God in that it comes from a divine source. For instance, Psalm 119 and verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end." Psalm 119 verse 72 says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver." And so the psalmist very clearly identifies and said, this is your word. It is from God. And because of that, then it is true. Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of your word is truth. When you put all of God's word together, it embodies all the truth that we as his servants need in order to guide and direct our life. Then thirdly, the psalmist says that the word of God is faithful. In Psalm 119 and verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. Psalm 119 verse 138, you have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. And here that word faithful is used in the sense of reliable, of certainty, that you can depend upon what the Word of God says to you. And then finally, in this regard, the psalmist says that God's Word is settled. And that's a very important concept in a world that looks at things in a very relative eye, that truth comes from what we behold it to be. That's not what the psalmist thought concerning the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90, he says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. And so the psalmist says, when you speak your truth in your word, that settles the issue. And it will not change. And so these four basic things, very briefly, I think summarize what the psalmist in the 119th Psalm says concerning the character of God's Word. Well, the second thing we want to look at in this psalm is how it sets forth the obligation of those who read this psalm to the Word of God. And I believe that the psalmist says several things about that within the 119th Psalm. First of all, he says we are to love God's Word. Psalm 119, 140, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. We are to recognize, as we've looked at that first point, and the things that characterize God's Word, is that that should create in us, as readers of God's Word, a devotion to it. It is something that we should love. We are to love it for what it is, but we are also to love it for what it produces in us. Psalm 119, verse 165, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. We love the Word of God for what it is, but we love the Word of God for what it does for us. When we are lovers of the Word of God, it imbues us with a peace as we go through this turbulent life in which we live. So we are to love the Word of God. The psalmist says we are to observe it. Teach me, O Lord, Psalm 119, verse 33, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. We're going to talk about a couple of synonymous words here, at least in my estimation, from the psalmist, and try to maybe put a little different shade on it. We are to observe God's Word. That is, if you are an observer, think about the difference between an observer and the rest of us. Had dinner the other night with the Dowdies. And Brenda started talking about the birds in her yard. Okay? Now, I see birds. Okay? I look out my window and I can say, wow, there's a lot of birds in our yard. And then because my mind works the way my mind works, I think, I wonder how much Debbie is spending on birdseed. You know, that's the way I look at that type of thing. But I listen to Brenda, and she is an observer of birds. And some of the rest of you are that way too. We had this bird in our yard this week, and we had this bird in our yard this week. And so some of us have differing interests, but you take whatever interest it would be and think about the difference between somebody that's just casually interested in it and somebody that is an observer of it, that really looks at it. And so I think about this, and I actually challenge myself with this question in preparation for this lesson, because I have a practice, I have a habit that I've established, that I get up in the morning and I read 4 to 5 chapters in the Bible. But I have to admit to you, sometimes I get through that, and some of it's very familiar. Right now I'm reading in the Exodus, and I think I know that story. And so you get done with the Bible reading, and have you just read it? There's a difference between that and really saying, how does this impact my life? What does this do for me? And so he says we should actually be observers of the Word. It should not get our passing attention. It should get some focused attention in our lives. And then he says, then we are to keep it. And someone will say, well, aren't observe and keep synonyms? Well, kind of. But if you understood what I just said about observance and how to truly observe something, then we also understand that to keep something means you use it as the guide for your life. You make your determination in your life that this is going to direct my steps. Psalm 119, verse 44, "So I will keep your law continually forever and ever, that I may keep your word." And then finally, in this regard, he says we are to meditate on it. And I think that's another step in this observe, keep type of thought, to actually meditate upon something. Psalm 119 and verse 48, "And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." If you noticed in just the few verses that I've read in this segment, how they interrelate to each other. I love the Lord's words, so I want to pay close attention to them. I want to make them the standard of my life. I want to spend time just thinking about what they mean to me and how they make my life more what He would have it to be. So the psalmist sets forth for us some of our basic obligations to the Word of God. Then thirdly, he describes within the 119th Psalm some of the blessings that come through the Word of God. First of these is that it provides us guidance for our life. If we have the attitude that we're going to observe it, meditate upon it, keep it, it will lead us in the right direction in our lives. Psalm 119 and verse 24, "Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors." What is a counselor? A counselor is some other person, some other entity, to which we go in order to get advice and direction. And what the psalmist says is that is the role of the Word of God. It is the one who is to advise us concerning the direction of our life. And so when we allow it to do that, it provides us God's favor. We become recipients of the good things that God has provided for us in His in this life through His Word. For instance, we receive the effects of His gracious nature. Psalm 119, verse 58, "I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me," watch, "according to your word." The Word of God will describe for us and explain for us how He blesses us, how He provides His grace to us, and how He bestows that on us. And then the psalmist says it will provide us His loving kindness. Now, if we had a lot of time this morning, we could go into this in great detail. The word loving kindness is a word, in fact, whenever you type it out, if you're doing sermon lessons or Bible class lessons, the autocorrect on your computer will say this isn't a word. Okay? And the reason why it says that is that it's a Hebrew word that's very difficult to put into English. It's from the Hebrew word hesed. But very often in English Bibles, this is the word loving kindness is used, which is an old English word. Psalm 119 and verse 76, "Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word to your servant." And in the Old English, they put the word loving and kindness together and said that's what this said it means. And that's probably as close as we can get it. But what does that tell us? Well, the word is used repeatedly in the Old Testament to describe what God has done and what He has planned and what He has executed to bring about the greatest benefit for Israel as He has set them apart as His people. And ultimately, the greatest expression of God's hesed is the sending of the Messiah and solving the problem of sin. But it encompasses really everything that God does to provide us benefit in our life. And so the psalmist says, if we will reflect upon the Word of God, it will inform us as to the great benefit that we have because we are God's children. And of all the things God has done for us, because He is a God of loving kindness. He is a God who truly cares about us. Well, the third thing that the psalmist says is if we will have a proper approach to the Word of God, that it will revive us. Psalm 119 and verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. And I kind of confess my humanness to you this morning about the fact that though I try to read my Bible every morning, some days I'm a better reader of the Bible than I am for others. And that's a human flaw that we have to be guarding against. But the other side of that is that sometimes when I'm not doing very well or when I have not had as good a week as I ought to have with spiritual things, that Bible reading will take me somewhere by the habit that I have. Mine's much simpler. If you've ever talked to my wife about how she does her Bible reading, my mind is not that complex. I can't do it the way Debbie does. I simply go through the Bible in different ways. But I'll just come upon a passage that I have read over and over and over again, and somehow it just seems to be right there for me that day. And I read that, and it gets me back to where I need to be. That's what revival is. Now, if you don't read the Word of God regularly, it will never do that for you. It needs to be present in our lives. And that's what the psalmist says. If I will look at the Word of God as God has intended it to be in my life, it will revive me. It will help me get through the trying times. It will help me get through the times when I am a little bit discouraged or when I've just become weary about life itself. It will give me that renewed interest in what God would have me to be. And in general, what he says is that if I look at the Word of God with the way that God intends for me to look at the Word of God, that it will stimulate my own attitude and I will have a proper attitude towards God. Psalm 119, verse 38, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. The more I read God's word, the more I will come to respect Him and honor Him and glorify Him as the great God that created us. And my time is about gone. I had one other quick point here. It's the psalmist in Psalm 119 warns us of the result of disregarding the Word of God. If we do not pay attention to the Word of God as we ought, it results in unfaithfulness. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. See the contrast? When I wasn't paying attention to your word, I went astray. But now I'm going to keep it. Psalm 119, 150. Those who follow after wickedness draw near, but they are far from your law. God's word is intended to keep us close to Him, to have the right attitude and approach to Him. And obviously, if we don't have that, if we're not faithful to Him, one of the things that comes to those who disregard God's law is judgment. Psalm 119, verse 126, it is the time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. What does the psalmist say? God will act when people break His law. There is a time for God's action. That's judgment. And the psalmist says, God will act when people disregard His law And the ultimate result of that judgment is condemnation. Psalm 119, verse 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Salvation is not theirs. Salvation is away from them because they do not honor and seek the law of God and keep it. And so, as there's a lot to cover in just a very few minutes, this is just a sampling of the verses in Psalm 119 that describe God's law in these ways. Very rich psalm, a good psalm to read. And so, with that, we're going to close this portion this morning. Brother Richard Jose has the prayer, I believe, and then we will be dismissed to our Bible class. No, I'm sorry.